You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The UFC Buzz Podcast with Gareth A. Davis. Exclusive to William Hill. Listen online at audioboom.com or subscribe at iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the latest edition of the UFC Buzz Podcast. Dave Kellner here in the studio, joined on the line now by BT Sport and Telegraph pundit Gareth A. Davis, ahead of what promises to be another entertaining fight night. It's UFC 108 coming up, and it's Swanson versus Lobov. That's the headline event. First of all, a warm welcome to the man who's going to be making his predictions in the next 20-25 minutes. Gareth A. Davis joins me on the line. Gareth, first of all, a warm welcome. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Thanks very much, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Away from the UFC, just momentarily, I heard you last night on the Talk Sport program you co-host with Saggers, and obviously building up to Klitschko versus Joshua, which is, I suppose, dividing your attention at the moment between the UFC and that big fight that's coming up.
Oh, definitely. I mean, listen, I have this problem all the time. There are massive boxing matches going on around the world. This is a very, very big one, certainly for the UK at the moment. And I'm Facebook living for William Hill next week, believe it or not, at the workouts. I'm writing a column on Anthony Joshua for William Hill next week, how it could be a changing era. But at the same time, I'm doing a podcast on that fight for William Hill betting as well. But, you know, the thing is, these two sports stand side by side. So I often find myself either at a UFC, an MMA event, and then racing back to watch it on TV, or vice versa, filing on a boxing event for the newspaper and racing back to watch a UFC event early in the morning. If I'm in America, I'm watching it live and I've watched it earlier. It's endless. I mean, there are so many extraordinary fights. And, you know, at the moment, you know, the UFC is creating some really good headliners, really fascinating cards in which, you know, we're going to see some really big stars emerging. But over here in the UK, if Anthony Joshua wins next weekend, we really do see a different kind of star to Conor McGregor, but a massive star on the sports landscape if he beats Vladimir Klitschko.
Absolutely. Looking forward to that immensely. Let's reflect on what we saw last week in the UFC. We spoke prior to the event in Kansas City where Demetrius Johnson was going to tie that record for most consecutive title defenses, was up against Wilson Heiss in Kansas City. And boy, did he produce, Gareth.
Oh, it was unbelievable. This was a masterclass from the gods. He did everything brilliantly. He fought to perfection. He moved like a ghost. He hit Wilson Heiss like he was being beaten up by the Invisible Man. He submitted him on the ground in the end. A Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu world champion, a black belt and a world champion, submitted him for good measure at the end of the third round. And really just, as I say, put on a masterclass. This guy is the pound for pound number one in mixed martial arts at the moment. And as UFC president Dana White said afterwards, Dave, you know, he was amazed when he saw this guy, Demetrius Johnson, go to his corner afterwards. He called him a freak of nature, and he said, you know what was really weird? He went and asked his corner what he'd done wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. It was an extraordinary performance. He is on the way, and White said this as well, and I do agree with him, a couple more victories. And he, in certainly statistical terms anyway, he's already up there with John Jones, Anderson Silva, George St. Pierre, their great runs as champions. Couple more, maybe four or five more victories, and he really starts to become, and he's so dominant, and some youngsters come through to fight him, and he's nearly wiped out all of those anyway. He starts to being talked about as the greatest of all time in four or five wins time. The funny thing is, of course, because mixed martial arts only began in 1993, we can say those things with relative changes in era, but not like you do in boxing where you're sometimes looking back 100 years. Mm. But he really was outstanding. Rose Namajunas was very, very good against Michelle Waterson. I think, you know, she's going to be a great challenge at some point down the line. Joanna Jędrzejczyk. I don't think she beats Jędrzejczyk, but, you know, she really did show herself in a great way, Rose Namajunas. And also the shock of the night, really, Robert Whittaker knocking out Ronaldo Jacaré Souza in the second round with some incredible boxing, relaxed boxing and striking. And I tell you what, a matchup between Whittaker and Michael Bisping down the line, two guys that favour stand-up and striking, would be phenomenal. And I would make Whittaker the marginal favourite. Mm. Mike Bisping will probably get on the Twitter when he hears about this, and he'll batter me and slag me off to his million or whatever Twitter followers, because he doesn't like any criticism from me. We are friends. We go back a long way. But the way Whittaker's in the stand-up at the moment, there's very few that could live with him in that middleweight division.
Let's talk about this week then, Gareth, because we've got four fights we are going to look at here in the podcast. And it starts with the bantamweight clash between John Dodson and Eddie Wineland. And Dodson is 1-4, so a very short price to win this fight. Wineland is in the betting at 3-1. Dodson moved from flyweight back to bantamweight, and he's been a top contender for many years. But what we don't know is how he's going to progress in this division. He's had a couple of scraps with Mighty Mouse, Demetrius Johnson, and lost them both. I think this matchup really is to determine where Dodson stands in the bantamweight sphere now, Gareth.
Yeah, it's a very good point. It's very interesting. Look, I mean, as a bantamweight, at the moment, I think he's ranked number 7, Dodson, with Eddie Wineland at 10. Wineland is a very formidable fighter on his night. Dodson has fast twitch muscle fibre. He's a short man. He's naturally a flyweight, I think. But obviously, he's very compact. He's very hench. And I think he was struggling at flyweight. Like you say, he lost twice to Demetrius Johnson. When he lost for the second time in September 2015, you know, kind of 19 months ago now, I think he decided that enough was enough. And he went up and he fought. He returned to bantamweight, beat Manuel Gamburian. And then lost to John Lineker in a catchweight fight because Lineker had missed weight. And, you know, the thing is for me, I always thought that John would... He's knocked Demetrius down before and hurt him. We were talking about Demetrius just now. I think John Dodson's best opportunities are at flyweight. I think, you know, at bantamweight, he's very small in terms of height. He's very powerful, but when you look at the guys he's got to go up against at the top of that division, certainly, you know, the likes of Cody Garbrandt, TJ Dillashaw, they're much, much bigger men naturally. Obviously, Lineker's there at number 4, Dillashaw at 2, and Garbrandt at 1. Obviously, that's the big summer Las Vegas fight when Garbrandt defends against Dillashaw. I'll be there for that week in the Tough 24 final. This is a danger fight for me, for Dodson. He's a man whose physique leaves him between weight divisions. It's the same thing with Frankie Edgar when he was between featherweight and lightweight as champion. Frankie Edgar's body fitted somewhere between the weight divisions. I think it's the same thing for John Dodson. I favour Dodson in this. I understand why he's the favourite. I'm going to go with him to win. But it wouldn't surprise me, Dave, if Wineland, who's very adept on the feet, very clever fighter, very versatile, did pull off something unusual. But I'm going to go for Dodson to win this on his power and speed.
Dodson, 1-4, Wineland, 3-1. Gareth going with Dodson in that bantamweight clash. Let's take a look at the light heavyweights in action. Vince St. Preux is 4-7 to beat Marcus Rogério de Lima, who is available at 11-8 here with William Hill. If you're having a total rounds bet, the spread is 1.5. Over 1.5 rounds is 11-8. And under 1.5 rounds is 8-15. The question here, Gareth, is has Vince St. Preux got anything left in the tank? He's lost his last three. against John Jones, Jimmy Manua, and Volkan Oddemir. Does he have anything left of Vincent Prue?
I think he's always got something left. I mean, for me, he's an incredibly talented athlete. You take away the losses. He's lost to the top level guys. Jones, I mean, okay, you can argue that, you know, you can argue that Voldemir, you know, Ozdemir is, you know, not on the same level. I think in the lightweight rankings, light heavyweight rankings, he's gone up to number five, and he is a dangerous fighter. But you look at who he's lost to, and they've all been top level contenders. That's all he's lost to. Manua, Jones, as you say, Glover Teixeira, Ryan Bader. All these guys are at the very pinnacle of that 205 division. I think what we're going to find out is, has he got anything left at elite level for this? I mean, again, Marcos Rogério de Lima, he's lost to difficult guys in the past. He's lost to Nikita Krylov and to Gulov. He lost to just recently in the UFC. He had a win over Igor Pokrajec, who was a very tough guy. This is a comme ci, comme ça fight for me. It could go either way. Like you say, if there's an appetite from our guy Vincent Prue to still prove himself in the UFC, to still go somewhere where he really wants to be in this division, you know, he gets the victory, he stays there, you know, around eight in the division. He loses, a guy climbs a lot of the ladder. I don't know if he's ever going to get a title shot over Vincent Prue, but I got a feeling that he's going to bounce back in this fight and take the victory.
If you're looking at this fight from a tactical perspective, do you think Marcos Rogério de Lima just comes out swinging? Because that's his modus operandi, really. He's a knockout merchant, isn't he? He'll be quickly into action here, you would expect.
Well, he's rounded. You know, he's got 14 out of 18 wins. He's got 10 knockouts, but he's got three submissions. Well, I do think he'll favour the stand-up. He's got very strong hands. He trained with the American top team. You know, he's known as Bigfoot. Pazal. He's not a young man either. Neither of these two are young men. He's an experienced campaigner. I expect him, like you say, I think they'll both be quite measured. I think this will be a stand-up fight in many ways. I think the trouble is we remember that incredible knockout by Jimmy Manua of this guy, St. Prue. And I think it's hard to remove those imprints from your mind sometimes. And I think that's the difficulty here. You've swayed me a little bit. I'm thinking about this now. It wouldn't surprise me if De Lima won.
Don't let me change your mind, Gareth, please.
No, okay, look, you haven't changed my mind, but, you know, it's a difficult one to call.
Yes.
We don't know how much Vincent Prue has got left, how ambitious he really is. But, you know, you've got to be a very fine striker to defeat him. I mean, Jimmy Manua is one of the most dangerous strikers in the whole of MMA. Do you know what? I am going to go for Lima. I'm going to go Lima, even though he's a little bit of an unknown in a sense in the top of that division, to make a strike on the division and get a victory over Vincent Prue. But it's not going to be by knockout. He's going to catch him and hurt him and then submit him.
Okay, going with Marcos Rogério de Lima in that light heavyweight battle. Let's move on to the lightweights now. And we've got Al Iaquinta versus Diego Sanchez on the card. Al Iaquinta is 1-4 here with William Hill. Diego Sanchez 3-1. Full range of markets for this fight as well. We have method of result, round betting and total rounds betting as well. And it's a long time since we've seen Al Iaquinta in the octagon, Gareth. Not fought since April 2015 in the UFC. That fight came against Jorge Masvidal. And Masvidal has gone on to scale the heights of the UFC. And it shows you how a couple of years is a heck of a long time in this sport, Gareth.
It is. But the thing is, I mean, Al Iaquinta for me, He's a very, very interesting guy. I've spent a bit of time interviewing Al, and I think what happened was in 2016, he stood up very strongly what he called against what he called the UFC's archaic pay structure. And, you know, it's a bit like he wanted to fight on the first New York card last May. You know, and he's saying, look, for 40K a year, which is what I'm getting paid, it isn't worth, I'd rather go and flip burgers, frankly. He was going to be on that Madison Square Garden card, UFC 205. But, you know, instead, I think he went back to do real estate for a while. Mm. He's selling real estate. And, you know, you've got to applaud him. You know, he's getting 26,000 or was getting 26,000 to fight. And, you know, no one's changing anything about that in the UFC. They're saying, you know, that's your market value and that's up to them and that's fine. But Aya Quinta is a real asset to the sport, in my view. He was, for me, you know, was one of the real stars of the Ultimate Fighter reality show. We really saw him develop on that show. He's the right size, the right weight, the right kind of dimensions for a very strong, powerful lightweight. You know, he's got purple belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu under Matt Serra, but he's a brilliant striker. And I think, are you tapping down the words I'm saying here? Are you learning, Dave?
I was just having a look at the record of Diego Sanchez while you were talking about Aya Quinta.
You have a look at the record of Diego Sanchez because I'll tell you about it while you're looking at it. the thing is this: Aya Quinta has brilliant striking, the potential to be the lightweight champion. He's not a bad matchup for Conor McGregor either. As you said, there was a time 2 years ago now, as you say, 2 years ago, he's been out. He was on a four-fight winning streak. Rodrigo Dam, Ross Pearson, Joe Lozon, Jorge Masvidal. He's got real lovely movement, great hands. There was a time when he was heading towards a title shot. I think he can still have a title shot. And I'd like to see him do well in this fight against the 35-year-old veteran Diego Sanchez, who I must say, I mean, Diego's a friend of mine as well. And I mean, he has been around forever, literally one of the longest, most decorated fighters in the UFC right now. It's 10 years he's been in, 12 years, sorry, he's been in. And I think we're looking at something like, I don't know, it must be 23, 24 fights now. It doesn't matter that he loses. He's been at featherweight. He's been at lightweight. He's been at welterweight. He's an extraordinary fighter. You know, and Diego Sanchez will put on a show. You know, he won his last fight out against Marcin Held. I wasn't quite so sure about that myself, but about the decision. But, you know, Diego Sanchez will always entertain. He used to be, of course, called the Nightmare. Then he changed his ring sobriquet to the Dream. Now he's known as Lionheart, El Corazón de León. You know, he will deliver. This will be a great stand-up fight. Diego Sanchez is happy to fight anyone else in their own backyard style. And this will be a stand-up fight. And I think Diego Sanchez will be cut and bloodied and lose on a narrow points decision over three rounds to Aya Quinta.
Aya Quinta by decision, available at 11-8 here with William Hill. Let's look at the headliner then, Gareth. This is in the featherweight division, and it's Cub Swanson versus Artem Lobov. And Swanson is 1-6 to win this fight. Lobov is 4-1. You said at the beginning of this podcast how the UFC had been putting on a show and all these headliners were terrific and well-deserved. Is this one? Because what has Artem Lobov done to deserve to headline a big UFC event, Gareth?
Three words. Conor McGregor Powell.
Yes, precisely. Precisely. It's a bit of a farce, really, isn't it?
I wouldn't call it so much as a farce because there are lots of ways to win and lose in MMA, and you cannot write off Artem doing something extraordinary and shocking. You know, like you say, he's a big outsider. He's a long underdog in this. And, you know, Cub Swanson starts a very heavy betting favourite. I think Cub Swanson will do it. I think he's very smart. I think he'll move in and out very swiftly. I think he'll completely outbox Lobov, who's got one of the weirdest left hands thrown that you'll ever see. Having said that, he's got absolutely extraordinary wrestling. And he's also got the confidence from being in that Conor McGregor camp, that SBG gym styly brother from Dublin, Ireland. And Lobov has incredible confidence. He's a he's an Ultimate Fighter winner. Again, in a weird, very weird fight that was. He was the loser in that against Ryan Hall. I beg your pardon. He wasn't the winner, but he did come out with honors in that fight. He's not a natural striker. This is a strange fight, and strange fights sometimes create strange outcomes. Don't write off something extraordinary happening in this fight. You just don't know. And what I think about it is, in the cold light of day, Cub Swanson completely outboxes him and he wins the fight by decision. And it's something that Lobov can do nothing about because he doesn't have the movement and the power to do anything. And he won't get in range with Cub Swanson because he's too quick.
Do you not think Swanson knocks him out then? Do you think this goes the full five round distance?
No, I don't think it'll go five rounds. I think it'll go, it will go probably three rounds. I think Cub Swanson will get to him, and I think he might well force a stoppage in this fight. But Lobov is very tough, remember. He's an Eastern European, he's a wrestling guy, and I think I do think it's a bit of a mismatch. But I've seen mismatches before when weird things happen. I'm going for Cub Swanson to bust Lobov up by the third round and force a TKO stoppage.
Cub Swanson to win in the third round, available at 13-2. If you think Swanson's going to win by knockout, technical knockout, or disqualification, that's available at 5-6 here with William Hill as well. So Gareth going with Cub Swanson at 1-6 in the headline event of this card at Nashville, Tennessee on Saturday night. Gareth, that brings us to the conclusion on the podcast. Thank you for your company, sir.
It's been a pleasure. Everybody, enjoy the fights on Saturday night.
I do indeed. Gareth's picks again, just one final time. John Dodson at 1-4, Cub Swanson at 1-6, Ally Aquinta at 1-4, and to boost the odds, Marcus Rogério de Lima to beat Vince St. Preux at 11-8. And that's 3.32-1 if you want to package Gareth's selections together. Gareth can be followed on Twitter at Gareth A. Davis DT. And you can follow myself at D. Kellner. And make sure you check out all the betting on the William Hill website ahead of UFC Fight Night Swanson versus Lobov.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.